Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. It is home on the range for free speech. It's where the all the free speech comes to graze and roam. So keep that going by visiting republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on the donate button and sending a donation. That's what you need to do. And download the CoSertified app. That's something everybody agrees on. Everybody agrees on the CoSertified app because we all want to lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. Or even if you don't, you want to download the CoSertified app. It's for everybody. So to do that, you can get it from nationalbugle.com. Okay, so we all agree on the CoSertified app. There is a little bit of disagreement. Oh, and Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. And I'll smash that donate button with extreme prejudice every month and donate fodder to free speech for those free-roaming animals to consume.
That's right. Buffalo and antelope and all of that. Okay, regarding China, so yes. I guess I am emerging as one of the people who would most rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. There are those who say it's the same thing. You can't really tell the difference between Chinamen and Jews. Here's the thing. So you get these people who say that China's run by Jews because Mao took pictures with a bunch of Jews, or there was a guy named Epstein who was on some committee of 2,000 something people, whatever. And that proves that, you know, that you had a few Jews who were able to gain Chinese citizenship along with the, you know, 1.3 billion other Chinese people. And that proves that they've been running China since the communist takeover in 1949. So they've been running China since the communist takeover in 1949. And you know what else proves that China is totally run by Jews is that this year, the Chinese finance ministry has approved for the first time ever a majority-owned investment fund. Okay, so you know you got a lot of investment funds, and now you're going to have the first one that will be majority-owned, and it will be 51% owned by BlackRock, which has Jewish management. And that proves it, okay? Well, here's the thing. So,
yes.
Yeah?
I was just going to ask the question, why wouldn't? And this is the question that was brought up. Why wouldn't China vie for the 51% instead of the 49%?
So, here's the thing. The Chinese, during the, you know, serious communist period, they didn't have, they had little or no foreign investment. And since the 1980s, they gradually opened up first a few port cities, Shenzhen, which is adjacent to Hong Kong, and then a few places across the Straits of Taiwan from Taiwan, and got a lot of investment from the Taiwanese, and a few places northeast China where they could get Koreans. It was geographically close to Korea. And they started opening up gradually these port cities for investment. The investment was, it started out always being joint ventures. A joint venture, 49% foreign investment, 51% Chinese investment. And they wound up getting a whole lot of industry that way, a whole lot of technology transferred to them. And so here you got 72 years later, after the supposed Jewish takeover of China through the Chinese Communist Revolution. It took them 72 years to get around to finally having a majority-owned financial investment fund. So, what took you so long? I mean, if the Jews were really running China all this time, they took 72 years to finally get around to having a majority-owned investment fund. And the thing is, the Chinese banks and financial companies and industrial companies, they've been operating overseas big time for decades, right? Huawei is dominating the cellular phone industry in many European countries. And there's been a lot of complaints for decades about it being a one-way street, China imposing restrictions on foreign investment, but getting a free ride when they're investing overseas. So the thing is, basically, if you're going to say, you can't say that the Jews have been running China since the beginning because of some guy named Epstein or a picture that Mao took, and at the same time say that BlackRock, 72 years later, getting the first majority-owned financial investment fund in China, that both of these are proof of Jewish rule. It just doesn't make sense. Does it?
Well, you know, China has become an economic powerhouse, probably the global economic powerhouse these days, and it's became that in the last 30 years because of U.S. Foreign trade policies. And so I think it's a situation where Jewish financiers on a global level, like BlackRock, see an opportunity to try to subvert. And maybe they're trying to dig their heels in. And the question is, you know, the point is brought up in these talking points, of China being controlled by the Jews. A point is brought up that this is how it all starts. It all starts with, this giving over of the percentage of the investment to Jewish-dominated elite global banking. And so what is the ace in the sleeve? What would China have up their sleeve to stop them from being financially taken over from the Jews? That's my question.
Well, they have a lot of things. I mean, for one thing, at this point, the penetration into China's industry and whatnot by Jews is a lot smaller than it is anywhere else. You've got the Chinese government, which just doesn't abide by the same self-imposed rules that other countries do. For instance, it doesn't pretend to be an electoral democracy. Right, it's got its ruling party. It does have, most people don't know this, it does have seven non-communist parties that are allowed, so seven other ones. And this giant 2,000 something seat committee that Epstein, some guy named Epstein, was on, includes representation from these other parties, which have no power, because that whole advisory panel has no power. But they've got a lot of things. They don't use the same rule book. And, you know, do the Jews always win? No, they don't. They don't always win. They've been on a winning streak in America, but maybe they've overplayed their hand. What do you think?
And as we've pointed out, I mean, one of the winning strategies of the Jews in European countries is the ability to infiltrate and pose as white presenting, which, as we've pointed out, is pretty much impossible to do.
Yeah.
Oriental countries, you know, China and Japan in particular, but we're focused on China here. And so, I think that.
Yeah, thank you. That was really the correct answer to your question. I missed it, so I don't get the A, but that was the correct answer. Yeah.
No, that did answer the question, as to, what are the aces up the sleeve China holds? And so it appears that you have this economic powerhouse, this nation of China, who very unique, implements capitalist principles, but yet they have a planned economy. It's very hard to describe them. I think national socialists might be a very good term to describe them. I think you are the only one that I've heard describe them as such. And so they do.
I'm the only one in public. Other people are saying it in private.
And so they're implementing. Any measure that they implement is for the benefit of the Chinese people, and so far has not been to the benefit of the Jews. When China buys military secrets from Israel, it's for their benefit. And so that's where we're at. And I don't foresee an overtaking of the Chinese by the Jewish establishment. And you can see that in the media, the anti-Chinese, cool over the anti-Chinese remarks, trying to constantly get us into some conflict with China and demonizing them, as they do Russia and Iran. Yeah.
So, you could say, well, the Chinese government, they implement policies that are not to the benefit of the Chinese people, but to the benefit of themselves. But here's the thing. If you look at the very, very long history of China, they have this concept called the mandate of heaven. And when things aren't going well for the country, for the people, when things aren't going well, the rulers don't do well. And you had a couple of centuries from the 1700s to the mid-1900s where things were not going very well for the country, and it was very tumultuous, and you had revolution after revolution, Boxer Revolution, Taiping Rebellion, all this stuff going on, civil wars, warlords, all this stuff going on. And so the Communist Party, I mean, maybe their main operating principle is to maintain power. But in the context of Chinese history, the only way to maintain power is to keep the people basically happy and in good shape.
And if I understand right, the populace of China are doing very well. They're able to live very good lives, better than they've lived in the last few decades. A lot of cash on hand, very expensive houses and cars. And so they are doing much better than they were doing. And I can understand Jewish globalist banking companies wanting to try to exploit that.
Yeah. I mean, so they're doing way better than they have been in history, really, but it's certainly in anybody's living memory. Now, you can get to a point where people say, well, what have you done for me lately? And Hong Kong, which was not nearly as impoverished as mainland China, say, 30 years ago, it was crowded and it wasn't exactly affluent, but it was doing okay 30 years ago. And now it's just like, it's super affluent, but they've gotten so affluent that, that maybe just material goods aren't enough for them anymore. And so maybe they're easier to mobilize, especially with young people, to mobilize for, Antifa type of burn down the old people, literally set old people on fire. But mainland China itself, compared to people's living memory, it's doing so well. Is it always going to do so well? Not necessarily, but for right now it is. And you have to give credit to the Chinese government, whether you like them or not. You have to give credit where credit's due.
My only beef with China at this point is that they banned crypto and caused the they were contributing to the huge lowering of value of crypto, specifically Bitcoin. Elon Musk certainly contributed that as well. But I've also read other takes on this, that maybe this was an opportunity for the many Chinese millionaires and billionaires to buy the dip. And so... I don't know. Overall, just a quick commentary on crypto. I know that crypto is eventually going to lead to the one world financial system. So I acknowledge that on the one hand, but on the other hand, I acknowledge that at this point in history, cryptocurrencies are the common man's way of getting around global bankers. That'd be my only beef with the Chinese, but maybe there's a strategy there. Do you have a comment on that before we get on?
Yeah, I do. And I know a lot less about crypto than a lot of other people, so I don't want to talk directly about crypto. The Chinese have this digital yuan initiative, the yuan. The currency, by the way, if people don't know what the currency name is, it's Y-U-A-N, yuan. That's kind of the colloquial term for it. The official term is renminbi, which is people's currency. The thing about China is it was so primitive. Like the economy and everything was so primitive back in the 1980s that it's only, I mean, people have only had money in the past few decades. Like if you went there 30 years ago, there was nothing to buy in stores anyway. So there was no point in having a lot of cash. The only thing people spent money on was cigarettes because that was the only thing that really cost much and you were addicted to it. Everybody was addicted and there was nothing else to do with the money. Money, they have, at least in recent years, money in people's pocket came at the same time as cell phones in people's pockets, came at the same time. And so, and of course, China never had a landline system to speak of anyway. They're very adept with their smartphones, and the cash came at the same time as smartphones. And so already, I mean, already they're not using paper money for that much. If they're going to their coffee shop, their version of Starbucks, or to the regular Starbucks, they're paying with an app. So many of their regular transactions come with an app. And this is in great contrast to a place like, Korea, or especially Japan, where everybody just carries around big wads of cash and everything is, you know, it's cash. People don't even use credit cards very much. Huge contrast, because Japan was very developed and had all its systems developed many, many decades ago, whereas everything's new in China. And so they just leapfrogged over the cash economy and already have an electronic economy. And so that might, I don't know, but that might have something to do with their attitude, the official attitude towards crypto, because they've got a electronic yuan that is more traceable. And, you know, the one criticism you can have, very legitimate criticism about the Chinese government and the way they rule their people, is its massive surveillance, and they can keep track of people. The government can keep track.
Crypto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, crypto undermines that greatly. Let's see.
Yeah. But, you know, our various financial and communications and social media companies that are largely run by Jews are keeping track of us too. It's just
but basically, I guess the point that I'm taking from this, and you tell me if I'm hot or cold, is that the Chinese came out against crypto not because it's a way around global Jewish banking, but because they see it as a subversive element to their economy. Again, they're acting in the interest of their people and their economy by banning crypto.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm theorizing. I don't know if that's true or not, but the crypto could be a challenge to their digital yuan, which they control.
And so somebody who is biased at looking in on the situation and not educated would just say, well, look, China is undermining the currency of the common man, crypto, in the interest of Jews, but really it's in the interest of their own people.
Or at least in the interest of their own rulers. But their own rulers are much more tied to the interests of their own people, obviously, than ours are, who, you know, see their... Our rulers see their interests as being diametrically opposed to the people, and that's not the case in China.
I think we've covered all those points very well.
Thank you. Okay, now you've got a whole bunch of stuff prepared, some weird stuff, some funny stuff. Where do we go first?
There's this ongoing saga of the Floyd saga, I would call it, of police reform. From the New York Times, George Floyd's family says Biden is committed to police reform after a White House meeting. And after meeting with President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, both fake presidents, by the way, on Tuesday, for over an hour in a private Oval Office session, the family members of George Floyd said the president was still committed to passing police reform bills. Wow. This family gets to meet directly with the president.
Yeah. Is he going to meet with us?
Would the family of Cannon Hinton, the murdered white boy from last year, I wonder if they would be invited to meet with the president.
They won't say his name. They won't say his name. And the thing is, you know, the family of George Floyd, at least the brother, that little brother, he was like... Yeah. Not particularly sharp, I guess that's what we'll say. But we're up at the break, and we'll be right back.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. When every move he makes, another chance it takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Right back. More on the George Floyd meeting. That must have been, you know, gosh, a meeting of minds between the mentally challenged family of George Floyd and the senile old bastard and the Jamaican whore.
Yes, to be a fly on the wall. Not. But, yeah, the point remains is that, you know, the families of Cannon Hinton and young Cash, two young white boys that were murdered by blacks for the color of their skin, those families aren't going to meet. But the family of George Floyd certainly will meet. White House in police reform. What is police reform and what does that look like? I've theorized that police reform means basically, number one, getting to the point where police do not no longer want to do their jobs. And that's number one. And this leads us into a Federalist article. Nearly 20% of Seattle police force quits following and Black Lives Matter riots. After budget cuts and months of Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioting, Seattle's police chief indicated Wednesday that nearly 20% of the city's police officers have left in the past year and a half. Quote, the support that we had in my generation of policing is no longer there, said veteran officer Clayton Powell, telling this to CBS News and concurring with an interim police chief Adrian Diaz's assessment. More than 260 officers have quit the force since the beginning of last year. So what fills this void in these bigger cities where we've had the BLM riots in response to the hoax of the George Floyd narrative, what fills the void? I mean, I understand that BLM and Antifa are actually patrolling the streets, shaking people down, and it always stops. So I think that's maybe the plan. If you want to talk about it, if we want to be so conspiratorial, talk about a plan, is to get rid of police who are predominantly white and very Christian conservative types, definitely pro-Republican and pro-Donald Trump. You get rid of them because the police are the ones that are going to enforce the BLM narrative and the coronavirus hoax. And, you know, as you see in many counties all over the U.S., many law enforcement just says, we're not going to enforce this. We're not going to get into it. Mm-hmm. So getting rid of them, at least in the bigger cities, may be the plan that they're going to implement, they think they're going to implement all over America. And to replace them with, what are social workers? That's one of the things they said. How would it be, you know, if all the cities of America looked like the Chaz? What was the Chaz? Remember that? Total anarchy.
Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. Yeah.
And you had people being shot and killed, and the ambulance drivers couldn't respond because they have to have police presence to secure the area before they can respond. So it's almost as if I were to be conspiratorial, that the global Jewish-dominated elites are planning chaos in the cities to get rid of the police and replace them with some sort of a new foot soldier for the system. What say you?
Yeah. This is the trend, and it's obvious, and the planning to the extent it's planned or that it is an obvious result of policies that are being pursued, whatever. You've got some cities that are having large numbers of police retire, often typically retiring early. And these are more likely to be white police. So what happens? You already have a push from Black Lives Matter and whatnot, not to have police patrol black neighborhoods. Okay, so you could say, well, all right, so you're not going to have, so you'll have a void, but the void's going to be in these black neighborhoods, like you had, the Ferguson effect, like what happened in Baltimore. And police stop patrolling those neighborhoods and the crime goes up in those neighborhoods, but it doesn't affect us. But the thing is, if you're going to have, if it's going to be largely the white police who are resigning, now to the extent you do have police in white neighborhoods, now they're much more likely to be black police. And, you've also got this purge going on in the military. And there are a lot of good reasons why you can say, we shouldn't be joining the police, we shouldn't be joining the military. But if none of our people join the police or the military, then who's left with the guns? The big guns.
The police and the military of this country hold the power. A local sheriff holds a lot of power. And if he wanted to, a sheriff could deputize many patriotic Americans to form a real well-regulated militia and stop a lot of this crime and unconstitutional COVID nonsense. And so I think that's maybe the play here. That's the shot, as some mm-hmm. people would say, is to get rid of the people with the power. I mean, but these people are going somewhere. These sheriffs and police officers that retire, they're going to, assimilate into the public, and they're going to still be very well trained. So, I mean, maybe I don't want to be too Fed posty here, but I mean, maybe there is hope for at least some of our smaller cities and municipalities and counties where we have good patriotic Americans that stand up as the system collapses. What do you think?
I will think about it during the break and let you know. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we are back. And, you know, in a regular country where if a regular country has a overthrow of the government, if it has a coup d'etat or whatever, it very typically does come from the military, could also come from the police. And so, yeah, these things matter. You've got in France a letter being written largely by retired military warning the President Macron that, you know, revolution is near. So I'm not being fed posty. And I think the militia movement up until now has been, what is the term for it? Live action role playing. They've been very LARPy. The idea that, you know, these, we could call them boomers in the woods, but they're not all boomers. And, but they're not going to play any kind of significant role. But if you've got large numbers of people retiring, I suppose there's some sort of outside chance that they could play some sort of role in something. It's hard to know what we're headed into because everything is changing so fast. It's hard to know what we're headed into.
All we can do is call out the facts and make educated predictions, I guess.
I guess. Okay, so what else do we have?
Also on the docket, as the phone resets, is the, let's see. Well, amidst this Palestine and Israeli conflict, you know, just on the heels of COVID lockdowns and a very disgruntled populace, BLM protests, the burning down of cities, again, disgruntled populace, police retiring. Now we have a huge pushback on Israel and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. 17,000 people on social media, according to the ADL, tweeted that Hitler was right in response to the Gaza slaughter. Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, people. This is from a Stormer article.
Yeah.
Jews claim that 17,000 people tweeted Hitler was right in response to Gaza slaughter. England writes, people are mad about the Jews murdering all those people in Palestine, and the Jews have cried havoc and let slip the dogs of censorship. And USA Today is what he quotes, pointing out that five Jewish groups penned a letter to President Joe Biden Friday expressing concern about the recent surge of anti-Semitic hate crimes in the U.S. amid the military confrontation between Israel and Hamas, which did agree to a ceasefire this week. So the groups in question here are the American Jewish Community, the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish Federations of North America, Hadassah, and the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America. They all called on the president to use his platform to condemn anti-Semitism and take a number of actions to combat anti-Jewish hate in the U.S.
Right, and to dispel the canard that there's such a thing as organized Jewry.
As they organize and try to influence our government. I mean, on the one hand, yeah, the hypocrisy is amazing. Definitely showing their hand here in their extreme organization. But also, I mean, hasn't there been plenty of House resolutions regarding anti-Semitism? But yet it's not enough. People are still speaking out, and Jewish groups are still kvetching. So, I mean, I just wonder if they've overplayed their hand, and the populace is waking up in the events that have unfolded over the last year. COVID hoax, BLM hoax, election hoax, and now the anti-Semitic backlash of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I think if I were in the Jewish elite, I would be dialing this back a notch or 10. Because I would be a little worried right now. I don't know. What do you think?
It wouldn't be the first time they've overplayed their hand. And the Steven Steinleitians out there, I mean, that's basically, I guess, the essence of Steven Steinleitism. Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't go too fast. Don't go too fast on this. So yeah. The Jewish elite has cobbled together this coalition. I guess it's basically more or less a majority of the American population, this kind of coalition to go along with an agenda. Maybe if people don't know what's all on the agenda, but the organizing principle of this coalition they've cobbled together is anti-whiteism or anti-white manism. And so you've got, most ethnic most racial minorities, not all, but I mean, not all blacks, but the bulk of blacks, the bulk of Hispanics, a lot of Asians. I don't know how it breaks down. So you've got the non-whites, which is a big hunk of the population. Then you get the gays and you get the feminists. And, I probably left out one or two other things into this coalition that's able to more or less win elections. But the thing is, they are not, they don't share a lot of other interests. You know, they're all there to, get what they can from, the hated white man, but they don't share a lot of interests. And while in amongst the older population, amongst the, you know, the boomer generation, there are plenty of people who just have this knee-jerk affection for Israel. But among the young population, especially the young anti-white population, affection for Israel is probably a lot less than it is amongst the non-anti-white population. The affection for Israel on college campuses is pretty low. And
case in point, BLM. As I pointed out on the Monday night show, BLM is supporting the Palestinians, and BLM is one of the strong-arm groups of the dominated Jewish elite to wreak havoc on whites, on white civilization. And it seems that they're losing control of this monster that they've created.
So you've got this coalition, and if the agenda were moving more slowly, maybe things like this Gaza stuff, maybe the Gaza stuff wouldn't be happening if the agenda was moving more slowly and people, the various elements of this not anti-white coalition wouldn't be so aware of their conflicting interests with each other. But I think the faster things move, the more that the internal conflicts are likely to arise.
No, I definitely see that. You're literally voicing the next point that I was going to bring up. Is someone could look at this, someone who is black-pilled, and say the Jews control everything and everyone everywhere, all sides of the narrative. And they do tend to get in on all sides of the narrative. But, you know, on the one hand, let me see if I can voice this correctly. The Jews do control the people that support BLM, but BLM is going against Palestine. And BLM are also, the people that support BLM would also support abortion and the tranny movement and LGBTQ. On the other hand, you know, Jews control the Christian Zionist movement, which are against BLM, or they're against, yeah, actually a lot of them are against BLM, trannies and abortion and the LGBTQ, the majority of them. So you could look at this and say, well, the Jews are controlling both sides, or you can look at this and say the Jews are losing control and that both of these factions are now calling them out as things move rapidly. Do you see what I mean? Like the BLM is like, what about Palestine? And the Christian Zionists are like, what about this aggressive LGBTQ tranny movement that's being pushed? And the Jews are just hoping that they don't make these connections.
Yeah, the right. Jews, when you use the word control, for instance, they would control the leadership. And then to what extent does the leadership really control or guide if we're talking about Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter supporters. And who are the Black Lives Matter supporters? Are the Black Lives Matter supporters the blacks who go out and riot? Or are they the suburbanites who put yard signs in their front yards? Or are they the corporate executives that raid their own company's treasury to donate money to BLM?
Well, the BLM supporters, are the white upper middle class because they contribute the money and they don't have to live in black neighborhoods. And also the corporations like Walmart that pledges over $100 million to causes such as Black Lives Matter. The supporters are these white upper middle class wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
The actual BLM foot soldiers, I think, are just paid. I don't think they would be out there if they weren't getting money, because it's just mostly a lot of like white millennial college women and, you know, blacks who feel like they've been disenfranchised by the system.
Well, like the white college girls go out there because of the all the virtue points that they can get, all the likes that they can get on their Instagram posts or whatnot. When it actually comes to looting time, I guess the looters are paid in kind, so to speak. But there's obviously a lot of money that goes into Black Lives Matter coffers, and it is going somewhere. It's going into somebody's hands, and so I'm sure you've got a legion of people who are getting paid and are getting paid for particular services. But so here's the thing: so the people. The suburbanite 50-something-year-olds who are putting up these Black Lives Matter signs in their front yards. They might be pro-Israel or just not even think much about that, but their kids off at college, they are not likely to be very pro-Israel. And so you do have this internal conflict here. And it led to a big hiatus in Black Lives Matter, activities, like after Ferguson, when they started coming out against Israel, and then they were shoved off to the, put on the back burner for a while. And this could happen. And it's not just with blacks. I mean, lots of other, is there, like, are mainstream black communities, how comfortable are they with the tranny agenda?
Exactly. Yeah. And so it's just a matter of, you could look at this as, well, Jews are in control of everything, or you could look at it probably more realistically as, the Jews dominate both these groups, BLM and Christian Zionists, and they're hoping that there's not a backlash, which we see happening in BLM, a backlash to the Palestinian conflict and the Christian backlash to the LGBTQ aggressive abortion. And they're just trying to keep this all controlled and handled, but maybe they're failing.
One of the things is, the faster you go, the less control you have, right? I mean, if you're riding a bicycle and you're going through a real narrow passage, you slow down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going really fast now. And so I think that when they're going this fast, the level of control they have, or the vulnerability they have to losing control, is much greater.
Well, do we have time for a hard pivot?
We have 3 minutes plus before the next break.
What's up with the UFO deal? Washington Post: how UFO sightings went from joke to national security worry in Washington. And I might add that even, who used to be our guy, Tucker, who's not really our guy a lot anymore, but sometimes he is, has even mentioned this. And I'm just wondering, is there an agenda with the UFO thing with major politicians? 2007, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid called his colleagues Ted Stevens and Daniel Ainio to a specially secured room in the Capitol where highly classified information was discussed. Stevens, a Republican from Alaska, and Ainio, a Democrat from Hawaii, controlled funding for...
So this would be like, what, 20 years ago or so?
2007.
Yeah, okay. By the way, I met Daniel Ainio. He had one arm. Shook his left hand.
But this is a May 13. This is a little bit of an older article, May 23rd of 2021. But I mean, it basically, these politicians are talking about, how they wanted the Pentagon to investigate UFOs, and I think there's an overall maybe agenda here. You think about how easily the global public fell for the COVID-19 hoax. They could fall for anything. They could be told that aliens are among us and that aliens want diversity and global homo, and that they could lead us into a new utopian future. Too far-fetched?
Well, okay, so there's two things. Okay, one is what you're touching on. That people, if they believe the corona hoax, then they'll believe anything. And that's for the regular people who are gullible, okay? Then you've got... And this is something Mark Collett and I were talking about on Monday. Anybody who is willing to open their mind, to look beyond the official narrative of, and open their mind to Jewish domination of society, they're also willing to open their mind to all sorts of other things. And so both the most gullible people in society and the most cynical people in society could jump on this. You see what I'm getting at?
Well, yeah, and the aliens that have visited our planet
You know, they think that we can save our planet through the, you know, through the new climate change global COVID-19 agenda of shutting down and getting on a global economy. I mean, the possibilities are limitless. And that's maybe where I think this UFO thing is going. And maybe we might have time.
Do you think AOC had some aliens working for her to help draft the Green New Deal?
You never know.
I mean, you look at her face, though. Like those eyes.
And then very gray, very gray alien.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
All right, so this is National Bugle Radio, Patrick and Jeremy, Aliens Among Us edition. So where do you see the aliens, Jeremy?
I think the skids have been greased for the global public in the last 25 to 30 years. If you remember the old TV show called with Leonard Nimoy, In Search Of, I thought it was very
Mr. Spock from the Star Trek.
Mr. Spock. And they had all of these ancient alien
archaeologist scientist types that talked about, you know, how could primitive peoples of the earth build these great monolithic structures, some stones, foundation stones weighing 1,200 tons, how could they move them? And then that led into the Ancient Aliens History Channel, which many people bought into. A lot of people got into that now, I'm telling you. A lot of intelligent people got into that. And then you also had Smallville right about the same time, which was a this is a very good show, actually. It's very 10 seasons. And it documented the it was a fictional documentation of the training of young Clark Kent to be Superman in the town of Smallville. Very good series, but you know the whole mindset of Smallville was that these Kryptonians visited Earth, and if you followed the whole series, it wasn't just Clark. Clark was a latecomer. The Kryptonians were here at the time of the pyramids and helped them build the pyramids. And, you know, showed mankind all these technologies. And so I see the skids being greased for this acceptance of aliens among us. And they have shown us a new way to go forward. Maybe I'm out on the lunatic fringe, but I just can't ignore all of these alien articles that are popping up and how our so-called elected officials and military officials are taking this seriously and pushing this.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, we've got a lot of real problems going on now, and we just can't afford to be distracted. And
but we got to acknowledge that you never know what's around the corner. 2022 might be the year of the alien hoax. That might be the next thing.
I advise people to go to a used bookstore or whatever and get really old physics or science books and just get up to speed on say high school or freshman college science courses as they were taught 50 years ago or even 100 years ago. Just get the basics. It'll come in handy.
But the beauty of Smallville was that it wasn't gray aliens that looked like E.T. that came here in a big show and a dazzle. They looked like human beings, and they lived among us until one day they thought that they could take over.
Hey, that was the song. They Live? Do you remember the They Live movie with the glasses and the two wrestlers?
Yeah. Very, very cool with the anti-Semitic overtones.
Well, thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Yeah, and we're going to stay classy even amidst all this alien posting.
Classy is as classy does, and nothing knows classy like the Patrick and Jeremy show. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.